Today's episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, is brought to you by HelloFresh. Summer is right around the corner, and HelloFresh can help take the stress out of eating healthy and having that great beach body by delivering everything you need to cook up tasty meals right to your door, saving you tons of time. We know that summer can be hectic. You're traveling with your family. We're making plans to cover music festivals. You know, concert season is pretty much every other day. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. And that's where HelloFresh's 15-minute meals come in. Those quick fixes help you get wholesome meal on the table in less than it takes to get delivery. So what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/JRodConcertsFree and use code JRodConcertsFree for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/JRodConcertsFree with code JRodConcertsFree.
A musical adventure, new artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. It's been a hectic few weeks here at J-Rod Concerts HQ, as we dip our toes into summer festival season. So we're getting ready for a busy May, and then, of course, June, and the summer is nonstop. But we had the privilege last weekend to be invited to Mooncrush Pink Moon down in Miramar Beach, Florida, and just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit. Mooncrush Pink Moon is, of course, led by Topeka Music Vacations, which is now led by Anthony Diaz, Chief Operating Officer. We met him before at the Beach Boys cruise last year. Some of you may remember, but it was a great experience. We were there on Sunday the 21st of April, saw Noah Kahan, The Head and the Heart, and Drew Holcomb and The Neighbors. And before I talk about the acts, I do want to just applaud, you know, Topeka for what they're doing down there. They're really creating a very stress-free kind of music environment for all the whole family. They have this great seating system where you don't have to line up. People kind of have their seats for the whole weekend. Weather is fantastic. It's by the beach. It's by the sand. Artists are comfortable. Everyone is super comfortable. And the weather was phenomenal. And well, as far as the acts themselves, I mean, Head on the Heart, you know, it's funny to think that they were on a mini, you know, kind of hiatus a couple years ago. And the original band members, you know, they were taking breaks because they are firing on all cylinders. They sound better than ever. And Noah Kahan, I mean, what can I say about Noah Kahan? I mean, I see Noah Kahan now a bunch in his ascent. But this is the first time that I see him in a couple years. And the nerve that he has struck with the younger generations is something that is absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, the younger generation just has this sweet spot for his incredible songwriting and voice. He's one of those incredible TikTok success stories that took him from a really successful level to, like, you know, stadium level. But he is phenomenal. He delivers. And it was great to see Noah Kahan there at Mooncrush Pink Moon. Massive thank you to Kate Ravitch for the invite. And we look forward to coming to a few more. Now, today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, is an incredible band that's been making music, you know, for close to 20 years now. You know, we're talking about a folk rock band, The Steel Wheels, who has spent, like I said, almost two decades writing, recording, and touring, all the while constantly honing their evolving brand of Americana roots music. Additionally, they are the founders and hosts of the Red Wings Root Music Festival, a beloved staple in Virginia. And throughout the years, the Steel Wheels have drawn on both traditional form and modern sounds to capture the beauty in all of life's varied trials and triumphs. Their new album, which came out in February, Sideways, is a modern masterpiece, It was released via Big Ring Records, and it's a meditation on resilience and survival. We are joined by Trent Wagler, the band's lead singer and primary songwriter, who penned many of the songs in response to loss, adversity, and uncertainty, and just made a really beautiful record out of it. So, enough of me yapping. This is the Steel Wheels on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. And Steel Wheels, how you doing, Trent?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Celebrating, of course, the new LP Sideways out now, wherever music is streamed or sold. Congratulations, first of all, Trent. I enjoyed the heck out of it last week, driving to Knoxville back and forth. Man, what a fantastic LP.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
What's the reception been like now that it's out in the world?
It's been good. We've been lucky to get a lot of really, really good reviews, and it seems like our fans are coming along. You know, I mean, it was in some ways we feel like it's the exact evolution of our band that's been happening over the years. And in some other ways, I think for some people, they're kind of like waking up to it and saying, sure. Oh, this is a new sound, or this is very different coming from this band. So it's been fun to see that reception, especially from fans that have been with us for a long time. And they're coming along to sort of say like, yeah, this is what I'm excited. I'm excited about the new chapter, you know?
Totally. I always wonder, you know, when fans complain about like, you know, oh, it sounds different. And it's like, yeah, well, guys, we've been around since 06, you know, Can't sound the same, right?
Right. I mean, why would you want to keep making the same record? I think, you know, for us, it's been, I mean, obviously when you're writing songs, you're always trying to cover new ground, you're experiencing new things. So there's always something in the lyrical content and where they're coming from that is going to be different. But also sonically, you want to explore and you want to find new places to kind of play literally in the studio. And so for us, yeah, we started with a lot of self-made kind of limitations, a lot of acoustic instruments, the sort of string band origins, but it's been really fun to expand that with, you know, electric guitars and a full drum kit and a lot more of a sonic landscape that we also bring to the live stage. So
absolutely,
it's really fun.
Because it can also happen, Trent, that like, you know, you go vacationing or like Eric comes back from like whatever, or Jeremy can be like, hey guys, I'm really like into acid jazz right now. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like that, those conversations do happen too.
Totally. Absolutely. And yeah, we bring, I mean, we're lucky to have a core of the band that have been friends for a very long time. So we have a lot of the same kind of influences or backgrounds. But yeah, we also, I mean, Jay used to play in some like heavy metal bands, and Kevin brings some like metal background and jazz background. Jeremy's played in straight up bluegrass and also jazz. And so we're all kind of drawing on these different influences with whatever we do. And yeah, you're exactly right. Like, if somebody is just mainlining some, you know, some straight like instrumental jazz records for a good long time, that's going to make its way into the studio. And, you know, I like that we don't, it's not like we're trying to curate a specific kind of like this. Yeah. Is, we're trying to play in the vein of this exact band from the 19 whatevers. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're just like trying to collect those influences and then, when you get into the studio, try to shed all of that and just be in the moment and respond and let the creativity kind of take you where you want to go.
Totally. Beautiful. Beautiful, Trent. And you guys, you know, like we said, you guys have been around for a minute now, Trent. And longevity, I think the more I'm in this industry, the more I value it. You know, like the other day I was covering a festival. There was Nelly, the rapper, was there. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Nelly fan, but he's been around for so long now that it's like, you know what? And I told him this. I take my hat off to you because that is not easy. That is
right.
Easy. And when you're dealing, you know, with five members in the Steel Wheels, what would you say is like the common denominator here for longevity, Trent?
I mean, I think it has to be enjoying each other's company off stage, right? Like, I think, you know, any band that's in it for the long haul, you're going to spend more, many, many more hours off stage together than you do on stage. And
right.
Not to say that the music's not the first and most important thing, but you can connect on stage playing music with a lot of people. It's a matter of, can you decide on where you want to go to dinner? Can you decide on like...
Just being a good hang, right?
Yeah, just being a good hang. And I think always having a good sense of humor. I think you know, keeping close those experiences when you were really paying your dues, especially in the early years, of just like, nobody showed up to this gig, or there's a TV hanging over your heads that's playing the big game while you're trying to play your newest song. Like, in a way, it's important to hold those experiences right up there with your biggest accolades, the biggest stages you've played, because you also know that there's no, there's nothing guaranteeing that you're not going to have another night like that terrible night. And having a sense of humor about it, not taking yourself too seriously, all of those things I think are really important. And then just continuing to try to push forward. I think, like we were talking about before, if we kept sort of regurgitating the same sort of songs, or we didn't create anything new for like 5-6 years, I think we would feel stale about it. And as soon as you feel like you're not creating something new, why keep doing it? You know? So it's, yeah, I think all that's been really important.
It sounds like you're describing marriage, but you know,
I mean, there are some times where you end up spending more time with your bandmates than you do your significant others. So it's a kind of marriage.
Unbelievable.
Trent, you know, let me ask you something. I've always wondered about this. When, you know, I mean, when I saw like Morning Before Long, which could have easily been song one or two, like the lead single, and the album is full of bangers, and this song is like in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is it to do the track listing? Because I was listening to it, and I was thinking, man, I don't know what I would do with all these great songs.
Like, oh, man.
Like, what's the process with that? Like,
thank you, first of all, for that. But yeah, I mean, that process is really dynamic. I mean, I think it's kind of like creating a set list for a show where you're, I mean, I think by and large, and I mean, it goes into also like, what are we making this for? I think about that a lot. Like, what's this music for? And in this case, when you're thinking of a track listing, even though you have to be aware that a lot of people are going to grab one song and listen to it, or they're going to hear that one single on a playlist and they'll never hear the full album, we're still making an order that we want to be an enjoyable experience. If you got the record and you're putting on side A and you're listening that to that first 20 minutes and then you're flipping it over and you're hearing side B. And so because of that, you start to think of, you know, I almost think of them as like sibling songs on the record of, in a way, sometimes you want those siblings to be apart so that you experience, you know, brother song one on side A and then you hear them side B. And other times you want these songs to kind of, you know, like usher one right into the next. And so it's really the flow of the music that you're thinking about. So in this case, like, we had Eric wrote two instrumentals for this album and they both made the record. And so you have a song called Dissidence and then you have a song called Past the Breaks. And both of them, we didn't want those to be too close together and on the same side. And so you're kind of like, you're almost picking teams in a way of like thinking about what's this experience going to be like. And so some of those are very much, you know, happy accidents. We had the listing of like Hero, Enemy, and Dissidence, three songs that we didn't write those together or think about that the names kind of had a relationship. But then all of a sudden we started playing with orders. We were like, that's kind of cool that it goes in that order of like a song called Hero, the next song is Enemy, and then the next song is Dissidence. And they all kind of have this flavor of conflict of, you know, what's our role in any given sort of situation or setting. And so we liked that grouping. Morning Before Long also is part of, to me, it's like telling a story of, in this record, Sideways, you know, it brings up a lot of, for me, personal kind of issues and experiences of when things go sideways, when things don't feel like they're going according to plan. And Morning Before Long is a very personal sort of story and song that really digs in there of being next to a person that's close to you who's struggling so much so that you're not sure whether, you know, whether they're going to make it to tomorrow. Like, it's that difficult. And so I also like the idea of sort of pushing those songs towards the end of like, we've opened up some of these topics in the first half. And if you're really with us and you're really listening to the whole record, by the time you get there, if you're paying attention to what the content is, that song, you're ready for that sort of emotionally or on that level.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the resiliency and the kind of like overcoming challenges in this album is very powerful. It's the biggest takeaway out of it. But and speaking of that, you know, I have to talk a little bit of a difficult situation here, but very important. Talking about Easy on Your Way.
course. Obviously, you know, there was a horrible tragedy with one of your bandmates where the daughter unexpectedly passed. Wanted to ask you, Trent, like when something like this awful happens, from a creative perspective, is it like when does the muse come in? Like, because you have to deal it with delicacy, of course. Like, do you sit down with Eric and kind of like, is that how it starts with like a simple conversation, or how does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. I think, you know, with Easy on Your Way, I think it wasn't the only song that would have been inspired by that tragedy. And I think for me, writing is always, like, writing is a practice. Writing is a daily discipline that when I give myself over to it, it's going to show me what I'm thinking in a way. And I often do think of it that way. I like kind of letting the mind go as blank as possible and just let words come out, and then later on kind of piece it together and say, whoa, I was really thinking about this. But it's almost, you almost have to, it's like seeing one of those blurred out pictures, and when you squint the right way, you're like, oh, that's the image. That's the way I think about songwriting sometimes. And so for me, Easy on Your Way was a song I wrote. Yes, I was thinking about Eric, and I was thinking about the tragedy that they and their family experienced. And yet I also felt like the song could be for a lot of us, and it could be for a lot of people. Okay. And so when I shared it with the band the first time, I did feel vulnerable because I was like, is this too close? Is this too obvious? And yet I also didn't put that label on it. I didn't say, hey, Eric, I wrote this one for you. I just kind of handed it to the band in the same way I hand any of the songs that I write. And I said, what do you guys think of this one? And it wasn't until later that I felt comfortable. And I mean, Eric and I have been in this band for many years. We often share, if we are in the situation where we have to share a hotel room, we're roommates. So I'm very close with Eric. And I did, you know, we did eventually sort of talk more about it. And I think that's part of the long road of being together, that I think at this point we can see, you know, who knows what other things we're going to weather together. Loss is part of life. And we're, you know, we all have close people to us. His and his family's loss was unimaginable in so many ways. I think turning that into music and trying to then create a catharsis for an audience each night through that can be a part of that experience of healing. I don't think, you know, Eric is very sensitive to not wanting to like use that pain or exploit any part of that story for some kind of gain or attention. And yet I think, you know, part of what we've been trying to do is continue to, you know, as artists, sort of open ourselves up to sharing and exposing our process of whatever it is we're experiencing in ways that are meaningful to us, and hopefully have that shared connection with an audience each night when we play that song.
Beautifully said. Trent, you're being so good with your time. Thank you so much. Let me leave you with this. Red Wings Roots Festival. I mean, great festival. I mean, this year's lineup includes a bunch of friends of our show and friends of Arvex here, all, and Maren Elkins and some other great talent. But my respects to you, Trent. We throw one thing here during Americana Fest, I like an annual daily, like 14-hour thing. And it takes us 4 months, gray hair, you know, and it's one day every year, Trent. And you're curating, like, you're a festival, like, producer of a really respected and renowned festival now. How do you keep it all in balance? Also, like, you know, every year is different. COVID, of course. This year, I know there's been articles about how, you know, the year of the missing big headliner, and even big festivals like Coachella are not selling out. So every year has, like, you know, it's up and down. How have you managed to kind of like put on that hat as well?
Well, I have to give a lot of props to, I mean, maybe it's delegation is like the biggest hat that we've done well, because we have a team and it's not all on us. Because yeah, like you're saying, we're out there, we're touring, you know, most years over 100 days a year. It would be very difficult for us to always be on top of all and every detail for the festival. But as you said, Red Wing is now in our 11th year. We're super thrilled about the sort of the size, the lineup, the ability to get the kind of names that we have. Kurt Vile is coming this year. You know, we have Pokey Lafarge. We have I mean, it's, yeah, the lineup speaks for itself, but I think, you know, the thing that's special about Red Wing is that it started from, you know, from a groundswell. I do feel like, you know, festivals have become this big business in the world. And I mean, we've played some of those big festivals that are amazing and they're really great. I'm not here to, you know, take a shot at any of those, but I do think it's different when you can tell that it came from like a local group saying, we want to do this here in our home. We want to make a special event in a beautiful place. And for us, we have a gorgeous park that's called Natural Chimneys Park. That's just a perfect setting. It also presents like its own limitations. I'm a big believer in limitations being useful. And so for us, it's not going to ever grow to a Coachella size because of the sort of natural landscape of what we have there. And from the beginning, people were like, don't make this too big. You know, keep this intimacy of what this is. Yeah. And even though intimacy is what we mean by 4,000 or 5,000 people, but still, sure, it's not 20,000 or 30,000 people. And I think that makes it an event that people build their summers around. Locally, there's nothing that quite nails it in the exact same way in this location. And so we've been so lucky that we have neighbors and friends and people in our area that just build their summers and their family reunions. And it's now just this event that is like built into the culture here. And it's such a gift to us now. I mean, it's something we dreamed up, put a lot of work into. But at this point, the team that's around us makes us feel like we're the luckiest people in the world. Every year we get to get on site and be a part of the festival. So it's a mutual love that a lot of people create, and it's a community of people that make it happen.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Trent, you've said it all.
Thanks so much.
What a great LP, man. I mean, it's going to have so many legs, like long legs for like a whole year and more, because there's so much good stuff in there. Congratulations.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening and thanks for the interview.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. See ya.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.